I think you're going to like today's show. It's a rerun of the same thing I just did an hour ago in the studio, but you never heard it. I just screwed it up, lost my information, had to do it over again. However, I think you're going to enjoy the DNA stuff. February 2, 2007, BBS Radio,
so
Dr. Fred Barrow's Health Science and Energy Show, and here we go. The
God
DNA stuff is hot, hot, hot in the second half. Don't miss it.
Acknowledge the geometric progression in the body of how these shapes go. Your body becomes very stronger on a physical, spiritual, etheric, mental, astral level. Now, if you look at basically how the universe was formed and when our planet was first formed, electricity in the primal form of lightning struck our atmosphere, forming in conjunction with sunlight the four basic amino acids, adenine, guanine, thiamine, and cytosine. These, in turn, became the sugars and phosphates present in every DNA cell within the body. Of course, DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. These, in turn, utilize the basic molecules of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon to combine and build the body at the rate of 50 million cells per second in our bodies. Of course, when you stick glue up in your face, you're not reproducing that fast at all. Now, going back into the DNA more, the nucleus of each cell, now this is brain cells, any other cell in the body, contains a material known as DNA. They all have the same thing, which we just mentioned, which is deoxyribonucleic acid, a tongue twister, if you may. And this contains the genetic coded, each one of these cells, and whether it's a brain cell or a skin cell, each one of them contains coded instructions that tells the cell how to rebuild itself, maintain itself, and of course reproduce itself correctly. The DNA is rubbery and pliable and is never still. It vibrates in resonance with brain signals, even outside influences. Now, you've got to realize that the DNA's etheric counterpart receives energy directly from the vitality globules administered through the spleen in the body, greater amounts in the morning hours of the day, based on the pH factor of the hydrogen atoms that are going into the body. We'll get into that more, but I'm getting you more conditioned that we're dealing with now an integrity, a geometric integrity, that's very important. The DNA is polarized with positive and negative ends like a bar magnet. And if you wear a pyramid on your head right side up and test the person, they test strong. If you turn the pyramid upside down on a person's head, they test weak. This variance between strong and weak would make it appear as though the pyramid had a negative effect on the body when it's upside down on the head, but that's not true. It converts the energy to the female aspect or the negative aspect of the yin and yang and the polarity. And most people are not conditioned to handle properly the negative aspect of the positive energy. So the mind starts to go quicker. The energy starts to go into the mind because the mental energies is the negative energy. The positive male physical energy is the physical energy. So what is really happening is the energy is moving into the mental levels and the physical body is weaker. Now this shouldn't be this way. It should be balanced. And this is what one of the things that becomes necessary, and this is why a lot of the things that we have designed from the extraterrestrial sciences have allowed this balance to take place. A healthy DNA reproduces healthy cells and aids the body to naturally overcome and eliminate the invasion of all of these different kinds of negative electromagnetic energies that come in, all these different kinds of chemical things we put in, and all these kinds of things. There's so many different negative things that come into our bodies to hurt the DNA. It has also been found that very weak natural electromagnetic fields can affect organisms of various species. All this indicates the necessity for a fundamentally new approach to the problem of biological action of electromagnetic fields for the need to reconsider the question of the possible role of electromagnetic fields in vital activity of organisms. And this is what we do all the time. Food, health, or conditions of disease in which the body is, of course, made up of cells, relies on more than just proper biochemical arrangements. The electronic field plays a vast part in proper balance and activity, and the DNA is the first order of biochemistry to interface between the electromagnetic fields and body chemistry. Now realize that the etheric fields are directing that energy. They are the intelligence of the DNA. They are like the DNA is the brain and the etheric fields are the mind. And of course, when you're dealing with the etheric fields and up on the astral plane, which is the threshold of consciousness to the physical plane, you're dealing with what's called the science of electrical precursation, EPU. And that's what, of course, the receptors are. Now, the pyramids that we were talking about were pretty much developed by if and by chance and by accident. We made a lot of mistakes. I've explained some of them, how we learned. The extraterrestrials watched us because I was in contact with Sannyasi back as far as 1971. They did not directly get involved with any of the development of any of the products until we came along with the receptor, and they began to teach us about how to combine the upside-down fields of the pyramid and the right-side fields of the pyramid. And when you look at the receptor, it's a parabolic dish with 288 pyramids in it. You can see some pyramids upside down, some pyramids are right side up. In cancer, for example, a dreaded disease on planet Earth, some of the therapies that lead into malignant cells are, one, the body is depleted vastly of B-complex vitamins, usually by stress. This, in turn, causes runaway estrogen levels in both males and females. Estrogen controls protein deposits in the body, and runaway estrogen means runaway protein, which in turn forms tumors, protein deposits, in inopportune places in the body. In turn, this blocks cellular oxygen consumption and traps carbon dioxide, which cancerous cells thrive upon. And this was a reference, by the way, I just read here, this little paragraph, was Dr. Harold Manner, Loyola University of Chicago, and he wrote several books which are available at health food stores on this. The second thing that we find in cancer is a loose binding of collagen and consequent lowering of cellular adhesion to that due to continuous lack of vitamin C. This is one of the reasons why we put this estrogen C in the body, and of course the B complex that we deal with, which is one of the problems also in our XL Plus formula, we use a non-yeast-based B complex, and we use the nitrosides, which I previously mentioned, B12 through B17. And some of the references on this, on the vitamin C, I would recommend reading Linus Pauling. He was a professor of chemistry at Stanford University. And then, of course, virus. There are viruses that have to do with cancer. And then there's another thing that has to do with cancer is a low voltage across the cell skin cone. And a lot of research was done and this is a NASA reference, by the way, National Administration of Aerospace Group. And when we worked at NASA, I didn't personally work with the research on cancer, but we have these things called tech briefs that come out, which anybody can actually get, and it goes into using a negative ionizer applied directly to the center of the cancer, of the tumor inside the skin itself, and this will cause the tumor to reduce in size. Another thing that leads into malignant cells are excess base pairs per turn in the DNA double helix. And reference on this work was Dr. Giotto Dado of Italy. Another thing is the alteration of the DNA code due to certain virus types. Most of the external physical factors which have been implicated in the evolution of life are of electromagnetic nature. It's now been established that throughout the renewable geological period, the biosphere has been a region of electromagnetic fields and radiations of all frequencies known to us, from slow periodic variations of the Earth's magnetic to electric fields to gamma rays. And remember, I talk about oftentimes we go into the different frequencies, how we deal with the basic frequencies of sound, which lead up to the basic frequencies of color and light. They're all related through the different octaves or different keys. It is fundamentally possible on the basis of general consideration that any of the ranges of the electromagnetic spectrum could have played some role in the evolution of life and are now involved in the vital process of organs. This has already been demonstrated for a considerable region of the spectrum for electromagnetic radiations in the infrared and ultraviolet range, which is the science of photobiology, and from X-rays, which is radiobiology. Now realize this delicate balance is being offset, for example, with the sunlight because of the ultraviolet rays being so much more intense now. So it becomes necessary to correct the situation in different ways. The situation is different with a vast region of spectrum which includes electromagnetic fields of super high, ultra high, high, and infra low frequencies. Experimental investigations and theoretical considerations suggests that the electromagnetic fields can have significant biological action only when their intensity is fairly high, and that such action can be due to only one process, conversion of the electromagnetic energy to heat or vice versa, which leads then to cellular activity. There is an increasing amount of reliable experimental data which indicates that electromagnetic fields can have non-thermal effects and that living organisms of diverse species, from unicellular organisms to man, are extremely sensitive to electromagnetic fields. This is a major factor in the aging process. To understand the human aging process, let us examine the structure and the function of the DNA. Imagine a flexible ladder, 1 meter, 39 inches long, composed of 6 billion steps. Each step has the form of two capital T's facing each other. The horizontal line of the T has 70% of its length made of sugar and 30% of phosphate. The vertical line is of a different composition, adenine or guanine or thiamine or cytosine. At the vertical ends of the T, there are atoms of hydrogen. Hydrogen, the first element in the atomic chart, is composed of one proton and one electron, which is, of course, the first thing that's important. Let's talk about the pH factor. So you can see here, looking at the hydrogen atom, starting in the DNA, first atoms in the process, critical thing, bringing foods into the body, must balance to the hydrogen factor. Best way to visualize this, I think, would be to imagine that these two capital T's would be, the bottom would be facing each other. So you have a bunch of T's that are sideways, with the T part on the left and the T part on the right, and the bottom's joined, and then they're joined by another one and another one, and these twist up, and they begin to form figure eights. And of course, each loop in the eight is made up of a bunch of T's that are horizontal. And these horizontal T's are 70% sugar and 30% phosphate. Then these horizontal T's have to be connected together, one after the other, to form this overall kind of an H shape. And this is what the vertical lines are all about. And these vertical lines are atoms of hydrogen. And of course, they're made up of adenine, guanine, thiamine, and cytosine. So it's important to kind of visualize this thing as a figure eight, and where these not just one figure eight, it's many figure eights. And we're going to get into the next phase here in a minute, where one figure eight joins another figure eight. Now, at the end of the phosphate rod, the orbital electrons spin clockwise. So this, now we're looking at the phosphates, which is part of the horizontal part. And at one end, we got a clockwise action. At the end of the sugar rod, which is on the other side of it, so we got the T on the left, we're going to call that clockwise, and the T on the right, which is halfway down the figure eight, spinning counterclockwise. In the hydrogen atoms, now we're going to the vertical parts. At the end of the adenine and thiamine, the electrons spin clockwise into the hydrogen atoms. At the end of the guanine and cytosine, they spin counterclockwise. This type of T is called base or nucleotide. So what you got to do now to understand that is realize that this figure eight, if you imagine this figure eight, it has a whole series of clockwise and counterclockwise forces spinning together so that they all form a figure eight. It's a natural thing. As one is the top of the figure eight, joins the bottom, you get clockwise and counterclockwise fields. It's harmonious. You could just move your hand through the air in the form of a figure eight, and imagine that there are forces working to make this eight happen. So you could take your opposite, you could take your left and your right hand and move them in the opposite directions and make them intertwine back and forth, forming a figure eight. You begin to see how the forces work. This is the building of the aging process. When outside forces start to bring down to bear on the, you know, on this figure eight process, what happens is, outside forces begin to work in opposition to the internal forces, and this slows down the aging process. I mean, it slows down the growing process and it increases the aging process. So you've got to imagine that, for example, this harmony of vertical and horizontal counter-opposing force creates an eddy current within the cell, which gives it motional growth. The pattern is much like a whirlpool formed, which always rotates counterclockwise in a bathtub drain, when the plug is pulled south of the equator. North of the equator, it goes clockwise. Consequently, the same thing happens in the body, which is made up of cells, which are made up of water. There is an action going on that if you work against, it's going to harm you. If you get up and walk around, if you look in the old movies, like I mentioned earlier, people are always turning counterclockwise. They move backwards in dancing and things. Whereas in today, if you move clockwise, try to move clockwise when you turn. Just always once in a while stop and make a couple of turns clockwise direction. That means from your left to your right. When you're north of the equator, this is very helpful in raising your energy field and disconnecting you to the Earth itself. Because you want to disconnect somewhat to the Earth in vibratory frequency so that you can move into the higher dimensions or the fourth dimension, the time frame frequencies, which we'll get into a little later on also. I know we say we're getting into things a lot later, but we're moving so fast now, it's probably going to be necessary to play this tape back and forth a few times, probably detect a few errors that I made, but at the same time in doing that, you're going to get a basic flow of what's going on here. And once you understand that, basically right now we're saying there's four basic amino acids. These four basic amino acids are formed by electrical fields, and they form all life on Earth as we know it. And these four basic amino acids are called nucleotides, and they're little tiny figure eights made up of substructures of little tiny T's when they're horizontal, little tiny vertical lines. The T's that are horizontal are sugar phosphates, and the vertical lines are hydrogen atom-based amino acids. So these, in combination, form all of the different 12 billion nucleotides in the body, which is the DNA. Because the DNA is basically 12 billion of these little things that we're talking about. So now when you bring in a counter-ELF force or a counter-opposing force, you can see, you know, even though this is a very condensed thing in vibratory frequency, you can see the damage that you're going to start causing. There is a genetic code in these things. When you have the 12 billion nucleotides facing each other and connected in a straight line, they form this double helix. This is the genetic code in every one of the 6.3 trillion cells of the human body. Look at that. We have 6.3 trillion cells, at least, of the human body, has at least one of these little nucleotide combinations, DNA, going to work on it. To form a new cell, the DNA must repeat itself. This is accomplished by splitting the ladder along the middle of the step and reforming two DNAs absolutely identical in the same sequence. To form two new DNAs, another 12 billion nucleotides are necessary. Inside the cell nucleus, there are constantly at least eight different types of virus, four RNA types with a negative charge, and four DNA types with a positive charge. Every pair of virus, one RNA and one DNA type, attract each other to form a bipole. They do so first to protect themselves against any electromagnetic disturbance, and second, to accumulate energy in the following manner, which I'll now describe. Inactive viruses are crystal forms, but in the active status, such as inside the cell nucleus, they reveal one RNA or DNA core covered with protein. Of course, even in the active status, they still maintain all the properties of a crystal. And such as a crystal, they are very sensitive to high frequency sound. And this is why when we use quartz, and quartz is a particular frequency that we use a lot, people carry it around with them, because it has a healing effect, the DNA, which is a counter to the effects of radiation and things that the DNA is suffering. Now, in the receptor, the nuclear receptor, we use 12, 13, 14 different kinds of crystals, because everybody's DNA in a particular area of the body, let's say that there's a problem with the DNA in the thyroid, that means the crystal green, the green frequency crystals, crystals that are based on energies of green, DNA helixes that are center sound frequencies of green. What happens is they're having a problem. You're overweight. So if we're looking at a person that's overweight or underweight, or energy not balanced between the upper part of the body and the lower part of the body, they need some green energy. So what we do is we put an emerald in the receptor. When the energy is trapped on the dish of the receptor and processed into something of a form of life force that the body can use, it goes out into the green and comes through the green into the little hole in the back. This then causes a person to get an increase in the green frequencies. And the same thing would be the blue if the person has a heart problem, for example. What we would do then is we would increase in the blue frequencies. The blue frequencies, of course, would be the sapphire. If the person is low in the ruby frequency area, we would increase in the red frequency, which would be the garnet or the ruby, and so on, all the way through the body. You can test it. Under sound frequencies of 5 megahertz, or megacycles, the two viruses continuously strain each other and produce energy due to the piezoelectric effect. The same principle is used in the energy conversions of a supersonic generator. In the ultra-high sound frequency, over 5 megahertz, an isolated inactive virus can be excited to alter transition temperatures or Curry's point to disintegrate them. The human DNA is like a yogi, we call it like the yogi antenna, 1 meter long, is tuned to any radio emissions between the 375 and 385 megahertz. So if you were to unwind this DNA, you'd end up with an antenna. And an antenna, when you buy an antenna for a citizen's band, that's the frequency of citizen's band, 27 megahertz. So one wavelength is approximately 27 feet long. So they have a 9 foot long and a 3 foot long antenna. It's frequencies that have to do with that. If you break down 27 by 4, you end up, you know, with a shorter wavelength. But what happens is, for example, when you get up to 375 megahertz, 385 megahertz, you end up with an antenna attuned to that frequency. You would end up with an antenna about 3 feet long, which happens to be the length of the DNA if you were to unwind it and hold it up. And the reason antenna length is critical to a receiver is because the antenna is tuned to a frequency based on the cycle of the one revolution of that wave from positive current to negative current, from ebb and flow, which would rise and fall across a given point in a medium, giving a particular energy out, and this would make it resonate. And that means that if the wire length of the antenna is resonating to the frequency of the incoming wave, the antenna is going to absorb or accumulate the energy at a greater amount than it would if it was the antenna was shorter or longer, too short, too long for a given frequency coming in. And this works all the way through the body, not only with the cell frequencies, but in the brain also. There are different sections in the brain, different parts in the brain that receive different vibratory levels, different frequencies they respond to, which then send transmissions out down through the endocrine system. The endocrine system, the 7 different endocrine glands, all have nerves that are wrapped up in wreaths that are the length of these nerves are determined by the frequencies that they respond to. That you could look at the frequency response of the body as a rainbow starting with red at the top of the head and ending with violet at the base of the spine. Of course, this is only a static drawing of this. During the day, these frequency points change, which I'll get into later. But for purposes of a basic understanding of how the body works, look at this antenna system is starting out with red in the head and violet at the base of the spine. That's the best way to start looking at it. And of course, with each color is a note. With each color is a note. With each note is a frequency. Now, when you look at the body as a different series of frequencies in each endocrine system, and we're looking at the body as a rainbow, and we're looking at it as a static aspect, and we're looking at every endocrine gland as receiving one of those frequencies, it begins to become a lot simpler. Now, when we go into the receptor, what we're doing is we're applying the 7 different colors of the different stones. Now, if you get into the different 7 different frequencies of the body, but you get into some stones, like, for example, the pink tourmaline, we begin to combine combinations of different areas. It becomes not a primary vibratory generating source into the body, but a secondary, which is used to elevate 2 or 3 primaries. For example, I mentioned earlier, if we were talking about the emerald being a treatment to adjust or balance the thyroid out, because a person's thyroid frequencies and their DNA combination frequencies are off, causing a thyroid problem or a thyroid deficiency or too much action of the thyroid, or the heart, which would be a blue frequency. Once the person goes through the therapies of getting their color frequencies back on, and as a result of that, the electromagnetic frequencies, the etheric frequencies back on, then it becomes time to bring the body from a existence mode to an excelling mode. And in the excelling mode, what we're doing is combining different stones, different color stones, rather than going from the primary, we're using the combination. For example, in pink, we've got violet, blue, and red. And the combination of those is going to pick up three different organs in the body. To get more into that, we have charts that have been drawn up that you can get on request to go more specifically into what the vibratory frequencies of these kinds of receptors are. Usually what happens is because the body takes about a year, it has to go through a therapeutic process first to start processing properly before it goes into a secondary process where it starts raising up its energy and vibratory frequencies to reach, say, the interdimensional consciousness of the altered state. If you prematurely try to raise the body frequency, and this is possible, what happens is when you go into the altered state, you go in distorted, and as a result, you become ungrounded, and it causes feedback problems of great magnitude, which are very unpleasant. So this is not good. Now, realize that in the body, we have these different frequencies. We have the centers of these frequencies. And these centers, meaning like the thyroid center, the heart center, have different lengths of nerves wrapped around them, ganglia of nerves wrapped around them. They respond to different vibratory levels. And these vibratory response levels and lengths are once again tuned. This is when we talk about tuning the antenna or lengthening the antenna to the different frequencies to get the most out of the energy. And once again, like I was saying earlier, if we had a citizens band transmitter in our home and wanted to transmit to a citizens band receiver in our car, we had a 50-foot antenna, it would not be as effective as a 9-foot antenna, because a 9-foot antenna would be a frequency that's corresponding to one of the octaves or wavelengths of the basic wave, which is 27 feet long. If, for example, you were going to transmit 60 cycles per second, the wave for that would be 1,200 miles long, because 60 cycles is a lot slower in frequency. It takes a lot longer period over time to go positive and negative in its transition to create its electromagnetic wave, whereas a citizen's band is running at 27,000 cycles per second. And of course, the human body is running at a whole multitude of different frequencies, and so therefore we have to take into consideration a whole multitude of different frequencies in our transmitting and receiving devices, in radionics equipment, and scalar wave equipment. All these kinds of things have to be taken into consideration. One of the things about the pyramid shape in itself is that when you work with a pyramid shape and you were to look at the pyramid as a shape for an antenna, the pyramid, because of the way it's shaped, becomes a all-wave frequency antenna, meaning that you can't look at the size of the base of a pyramid as a length of a wire and measuring what its antenna capabilities are. Rather, what you would have to look at is the focal point of the antenna within the pyramid, and you'd have to turn the pyramid on its side and look at it through the bottom towards the top. So you're looking at the pyramid upside down, but it's being held sideways, and you would notice that as the two wires came to a point, this would be the zero point where it came to the point, and the base of the pyramid as it's coming at you would be the ending point. And what a pyramid does in radio frequencies and different frequencies, it puts out an infinite number, it receives and transmits an infinite number of radiations that all correspond along to the different octaves of the human body. In a perfectly made 52-degree angle pyramid, there are no frequencies coming out of it that are not harmonious in some way to the body. However, because there are an infinite number of harmonious vibrations present in the pyramid, it becomes necessary to direct the pyramid's center frequencies to center frequencies in the body. This is done in the pyramids by the different kinds of plating materials, and it's done in the receptors by the different kinds of gemstone materials that are used. Now, furthermore, the DNA is under constant influence of charged ions traveling through the nervous system and acting as a modulation frequency. We talked about that earlier when we were talking about the three basic nervous systems in the body and the need for minerals and the need for trace minerals. The combined action of the two physical phenomena in force, the DNA, to emit a high-frequency sound in the range of 1.9 to 2 megahertz in order to detect by returning echo what type of protein is missing in the cell. So now what happened, the way I like to describe this basically, is that when the body absorbs a protein, and the protein comes into the body, and it's arrived at the sites in the body where it has to be, the DNA is already present in the body. This is why, you know, when you take protein into your body, and it's necessary to have the 8 essential amino acids, because the body cannot manufacture some of the essential amino acids. It has to have them put in directly. And so that's one of the neat things about the XL Plus formula. We use herbs like sarsaparilla plus amino acid protein sources in the spirulina plank, and a lot of different places we use it. And therefore, when you're taking on an empty stomach, you're getting a full load of the necessary positive DNA for your body to recombine with the rest of the ingredients in the vitamin for maximum assimilation. But what happens is, looking at this, is you can just imagine a bunch of proteins that are already in the body. And these proteins are looking at newly arriving proteins. And what they want to do is they want to combine with them. Well, what happens is the proteins that are in there already transmit this 1.9 to 2 megahertz pulse, and there's also a 3.58 megahertz pulse that's involved, over to the new protein to come in. The returning echo determines whether they're going to absorb this or not. And if the echo looks good, then they unhook themselves and they become transfer RNA. The RNA then move over and connect with the incoming, and they become messenger RNA, and they move over and reconnect to the DNA that's already that's just coming in, and they split and combine, and they cause this ladder to grow. So you look at the proteins already in the body as forming a half a ladder. The DNA that just came in is a half ladder. The two ladders have to join to form this nucleotide. And of course, there's 12 billion of them in one small amount of DNA. However, the problems that we run into is when you get into ELF. ELF is extremely low frequency, developed during World War II. Submarine communication is where it was developed. And of course, they found that people working around these transmitters got quite sick. And the Russians, of course, and other in America too, began to figure out what they could do by transmitting ELF waves, the negative part of it, into different countries. And one of the things that what happens when these ELF waves hit your body is they fool your body when it goes through this echo transmitting pulse return echo technique. It fools your body and it causes you to assimilate proteins that your body should normally excrete. For example, proteins that come in from animal fats and animals that are fed on hormones and steroids. Your body should reject those, but it doesn't. It accepts them, which causes genetic problems in the performance of the body. And of course, when you take your niacin, which releases these kinds of antigens, because they become antigens when the cell finally realizes what they are, they're trapped in the body. And when you take niacin, it releases them and you get this flush. And you'll find that when you take a small maintenance amount of niacin and wear the receptor, even when you do eat these antigens, they won't be present in the body. They'll be passed harmlessly through.
This seminar series is continued on the next tape.
Well, we're going to switch this tape over. Just want to say thank you also to the Floridian listeners down there at Tantalk Radio. And we're going to get way into the DNA on the next tape. It's going to be really fun. And this series, you can also, it's also pretty soon, it's going to be presented over at www.raysoftruth.tv. That's raysoftruth.tv. And, of course, it will also be available here at BBS Radio. Some of it's not going to be archived probably as fast as you want it, but it'll eventually be all up here, too. And this is very interesting information. I love doing this over again because it's very clear. And I think it will help. You probably have to hear this tape a couple of times to really get out of it what it tends to do, but it's some very detailed work that I did in my earlier days, not too much longer. It was all 10 years ago, I guess. So it's been a little while, and I look forward to have some great shows coming up on Saturdays. Might do another open mic Saturday night. I'm not sure yet, because there's a lot of them. I really like when I have the chat room open. I'm getting so much feedback. People are asking for so much stuff. So where I'm mixing guests and my...
And you won't light up on your Christmas tree after a while, but it does take a maintenance base of niacin, take it on a daily basis, a little bit more that's in our formulas. You have to take it an external amount to use and use it with the receptor to increase this ability of the body to not flush out every time that you take niacin. Now, to control the energy level from the piezoelectric effect, the RNA-type virus covers itself with a phosphate and a DNA-type virus with a sugar. In forming this special type of coating, the virus, like any living organism, produces waste. These wastes are accumulated in the center of the rod just formed and will be called adenine, guanine, thiamine, and cytosine, according to the type of virus in the bipole. The process to make the coating is accomplished at the expense of the electrical charge accumulated by the piezoelectric field. At the end of the charge, to remain active, the group of viruses removes the coating that is now in the form of the capital T and exposes itself to the high-frequency sound produced by the DNA, and the process starts all over again. And due to this phenomenon, the DNA always has enough bases available to produce RNA strains and to reproduce itself. Now, let's go back and talk about the composition of the 6 billion steps. Suppose we twist this strange ladder so many times as to have only a few steps for every turn of the coil so formed. And these steps we would just call base pairs per turn. Since every base has a different polarity according to the code formed by the passing generations, the DNA can be compared to the multipolarity rotor of an alternator. In the alternator, the speed is inversely proportional to the number of poles, and the output power is directly proportional to the energy applied. At every electrical impulse flowing through the nervous system, the DNA moves back and forth as many degrees as one base is separated from the next one. The more base pairs per turn, the less degree of DNA has to move and the less energy is required to make it vibrate. And there are controlling factors also for the DNA to reproduce itself and to create a new cell. First of all, you have the kinetic energy of the H bonds. You have the number of base pairs per turn in the double helix. You have the energy and frequency of the charge ions traveling along the nervous system. For example, the DNA of an embryo cell in the mother womb has 46 base pairs per turn. The kinetic energy of the electrons in the H bond is weak. Charged ions coming from the mother's body are strong. Result, the DNA produces one cell per second. After 6 weeks of pregnancy, the DNA in the cell embryo has 34 base pairs per turn. The kinetic energy of the electrons in the H bond increases, and the charged ions from the mother are unchanged. The DNA produces one cell every minute and so on. By the time the fetus is in the 10th lunar month, the single DNA, half from the mother, half from the father, has already reproduced itself more than 6 trillion times. Now, when the baby is born, the slowing process of reproduction increases. At the age of 2, the DNA winds again to have 22 base pairs per turn. At 14, at the age of 21 and 10 at the age of 35. From the age of 35 to 55, the base pairs per turn, the DNA does not change. At approximately the age of 55, the base pairs per turn are reduced to 6. By this time, the kinetic energy of the electron in the H bond, the energy of the charged ion becomes very weak, and the DNA stops reproducing itself, and the aging process begins. Now, you begin to realize here that the body's DNA is despiraling at a fairly much fixed rate. And at the same time, there's an increase of flow of the production of serotonin in the body, which also is what we call a death hormone. Now, if you get into the Pleiadians and start looking at their DNA and how it works, this unwinding process takes a lot longer. So their aging process is much slower. And we age much faster than they do. They live approximately 10 years for every one year that we live. And this could be reversed if we take the stress out of our environment and start using these devices that they've given us to slow down the aging process. And this is why when we use the DHEA, which is in the XL Plus, along with the slowing down of the despiraling process produced by the receptor, you end up with an anti-aging type of technology that bears looking at, bears experimenting with, and all these kinds of things. If you look at a bat, for example, when a bat generates, is flying along, it generates an electrical field like a radar. It sends a radar field out and it hits the target of something it might potentially run into. Then the reflection comes back. The bat gets the information that it's going to run into something and alters its course. It's the same thing that's happening in the body. The body is generating a series of frequencies between 1.2 megahertz and on up to 3.58 megahertz. If it gets the proper reflection, it rejects, it accepts the protein. If it gets the improper one, it rejects it. And this protein, depending on how hard the body has to work to assimilate it, gives the body a certain amount of nuclear energy. And when this nuclear energy is distorted because there's these ELF fields coming in, and other stressful environments, stresses in our environment are affecting our bodies, what happens is over a period of time, the overall body of information starts to say, I can't fight this all the time. I want to withdraw from the physical. And of course, then the aging process starts. This is what we're trying to get across in the aging. This is the way that the technology, the science that the extraterrestrials have given us, gives us a chance to start reversing it. Now, we might not make a tremendous dent in our own lifespans by practicing these techniques, but we will get the genetic information in our bodies, and we might get ourselves 20, 30, 40 more years of life in this lifetime. But the information is starting to go into our DNA, so when we produce with other people that are practicing the same thing, the children that we have are now going to have a tendency to live maybe 60 or 70 years longer if they practice the technique, and their children might live another 100 years, and maybe in two or three generations, we can get our lifespans back up to 300 or 400 years again. This is the process, and I'm trying to not make it too complicated, not make it too simple. I mean, you have to understand it, and of course, a live seminar, we can get into these kinds of things more, but right now it's necessary, I think, to get this across as best I can on tape. At this point, it is necessary to clarify one important factor that is the basic secret of life creation. Without explaining the working principle of the secret, we will never understand the vital importance of the homogeneity and orientation of the magnetic field in the human body. All of the 6.3 trillion DNAs of the human body are absolutely identical. All are tuned to the same resonant frequency. All have the exact same genetic sequence code. Yet the 6.3 trillion cells in the human body, where each DNA is enclosed, are all different. And each one of these cells fits exactly in the proper place and functionally in the human system. Now, you ever wonder how this is possible? Now, here we go. I'll explain that a little bit. The human DNA, as I mentioned before, is approximately 3 feet long, 39 inches long, 1 meter. Has 6 billion steps formed by 12 billion bases. Now, they're all the same length. They're all the same length. They're all tuned to the same frequency. That's what we're trying to get across here, the same length. The entire length of DNA is necessary to maintain and transmit from one generation to the next generation of the genetic code. Yet only a portion of the DNA in every cell is used to create a specific cell. And how is this accomplished? Suppose we have a thread 3 feet long or 1 meter long, piece of thread. On this thread, we insert 46 nylon light beads, 1/2 inch long. Let us insert now the strange chain in the center of the electrostatic tube with a bipole orientation. After a few seconds, all the nylon beads will be charged with the same electrostatic energy, and they will repel each other, leaving an inner space between them. They will repel each other, but not with the same force. The inner space between the beads, located near the north side of the electrostatic charge, will be shorter. Gradually, toward the opposite polarity of the tube, where the inner space will be longer. Now, the only part of the thread we will see is the one not hidden by the beads. Let's call this thread DNA and the 46 beads chromosomes. Since the chromosomes act as a shield, the only portion of the DNA that controls a specific cell is the one of the inner space between the chromosomes, which for every cell has different length according to a different magnetic intensity, polarity, and orientation in the human body. Each chromosome encloses 1,250 DNAs lengths. These are genes, and each gene is formed of 100,000 base pairs, which are called microgenes. Of the total 6 billion steps of the ladder DNA, only 250 million are really controlling the cell life. The chromosomes appear immediately after the DNA is formed, and they disappear when the cell is completed and just before the DNA is ready to repeat itself, to reappear again only in the new DNA. If the chromosomes of the new DNA, due to the phenomenon previously explained, have the wrong interspace sequence, it is quite possible that all the DNA will produce in the neck of the cell that belongs to the kidney, or vice versa. So that means that you would have a condition of what we call cancer. Furthermore, like a musical instrument, the sound produced by the DNA in the scanning system has different harmonies according to the chromosome's interspace. Now, when we get into sound, which we're going to get into sound a lot in the meditation, and we're going to talk about sound throughout in the tape further on. Of course, we've produced a couple of albums where we actually put this sound in. We also have to go back and look at a few things here. Okay, first of all, we said earlier that the human body has seven basic frequencies. These seven basic frequencies are seven different endocrine glands. And now what we're doing is we're breaking down, why does the body have seven? We have to go down to a cellular level to find out why the seven. So what we said is now we've taken this antenna, we're saying that even though we have seven different frequencies in the body responds to one frequency and breaks it down into sevens. But it only has one antenna. And the reason why it only has one antenna of a certain length is because the entire body is made up of cells. All of these cells have DNA in them. All of these cells have the DNA of a certain frequency, and the frequency is broken up by sub-things in the cell, which, of course, are genes and microgenes and chromosomes. And so if you end up with a series of chromosomes combining to make a series of genes, what happens is you can fine-tune the different parts of the cells to receive a particular component part of this overall frequency that all of the cells reach. So now what we did is to increase this process, to understand this process more, is we've gotten into the sound aspect of it. We talked about the gemstone aspect of it. We use laser lights, which we'll talk about later. Here it goes again. There it is later. Laser lights, we use red, green, blue lasers, different kinds of lasers, different kinds of energies along these ways that are coherent. But also with sound, we don't just use the A, B, C, D, E, F, G notes. We also use the sub-sounds, which would be like microgenes, tonal qualities, which are called timbres. And in our music, we go into the timbre structure. Because when we go into the fourth dimension with our consciousness, we've got to take ourselves into the fourth dimension. And previously addressing the cells only with a sound like a piano would not be enough if we were using the sound attribute to go with the color attribute, to go with the gem attribute. We have to go with the cell frequencies, the subcell frequencies, and with these different timbres. And the instruments in the past that produced that were not electronic, were things like the flute can slightly do that, but more so old Indian instruments like the sitar. The sitar is quite capable of going in interdimensional with its musical tonalities, but not as much now as some of the new synthesizers that are out. And of course, we based our microtonalities going into these different tone frequencies on the synthesizer by analyzing the Pleiadian spaceship sound and using the harmonics and groups of frequencies that we found in the resonances and the timbres in the Pleiadian spaceship and amplifying upon those characteristics. Now, I'm going to repeat myself just one more time here to make sure that this is getting simple so I can understand that you're understanding it out there. We said earlier, and I know, and this is very important, that's why I keep emphasizing it. It's very important to realize that the body is made up of many different frequencies. These frequencies are divided into sevens, sub-frequencies. But basically the body receives at one frequency, and then it breaks it down itself. It receives at a frequency that would need an antenna approximately 3 feet long. That antenna is in each and every single cell of the body. Within the antenna, we could say that antenna is sensitive to certain areas. In other words, on one set of cells, two-thirds of the antenna is used. So a frequency would be broken down. In other words, this basic frequency is 100%, but the cell that's going to use that frequency is not going to use 100% of that. It's only going to use 60% of it. And that's going to be, let's say, the thyroid. The heart's going to use 50% of that particular frequency. It's only not going to use it all. So we have a series of filters within the cells that utilize or amplify that particular part of the cell. These filters, we could call them chromosomes. And these chromosomes dampen out the energies that are not needed and bring in the energies that are. Then as they go down into the cell itself, they are further amplified, further broken down by finer little series of filters. Tinier little bits of this information, of this basic frequency, is being broken down. And we're getting into genes. And this breaks them down 1,250 times greater than the earlier chromosome. Then the gene, of course, breaks it down 100,000 times more. And these are called microgenes. So we end up with a ratio of 46, because there's 46 chromosomes in the very beginning, right? The 46 is broken down then into the 1250. The 1250 then breaks down to the 100,000. And now we want to amplify that 46, 12, 50, 100,000, break that down more with sound. Sound will help. So now we can go into, let's say, in the 46 frequency band, we could break down the musical scale into sevenths, and we could say seven times the off center C and center A, which is 440 cycles per second. So we could go up three octaves and down three octaves. Now we've covered seven vibratory frequencies. We could use A, B, C, D, E, F, G as sounds going in during the digestive process or the reproductive process of cells in the bodies to amplify the cells. If we wanted to work, let's say, with the stomach, the solar plexus area, the adrenals, we could use the musical note D, which amplifies that area. But now let's say we want to get down and amplify areas within the cells within the adrenal glands, cells within the liver and the kidneys. So now we want to go into the 1,250 parts. So now we would need to do something besides have the basic note going in there. We have to have subcomponents of the note. And this is where we get into the timbres. And, of course, the timbres are going to break us down finer and finer timbres. We can get down into the 100,000 base pairs, 100,000th of that frequency of that note coming in. So now I think I'm starting to get across, hopefully, so that you can understand this a little bit better. Furthermore, like a musical instrument, the sound produced by the DNA in the scanning system has different harmonics according to the chromosome's inner space. Man, at this point in time, is doing everything, what I would say, humanly possible to disrupt the DNA and increase the aging process, if you want to say, so that the aging of the cells is increased. And we should be doing the opposite. It's so silly. All forms of microwave radiation should be avoided. And as this is impossible, because at every moment, even when you hear my voice at this point in time, you are being dosed by radio, TV, radar, aircraft, satellite, shortwave, whole host of surveillance, communicated radio frequencies, and they do nothing good for the body. So what can you do? Well, you can do a lot of things. A whole new technology is created to reverse the effects of the old things. Remember what I said earlier, starting with the basics, like ginseng, bo tai, gotu-kola, helps cleanse the blood. The receptor has one of the metals in it. Some of them are classified, but one of them is cadmium. Cadmium absorbs radiation from the body. Because microwave neutralizes the trace minerals and high-frequency minerals in our body, it's necessary to greatly enhance, bring in the herbs and things that have the high-frequency trace minerals. This is why I have this whole new formula called the Turbo Ion Min. It's so necessary. These more advanced formulations that we're really getting into. And, of course, another thing I want to refer basically to is a book that I recommend that everybody reads. It's called The Biological Effects of Electric and Magnetic Fields of Extreme Low Frequency by Shepherd and Eisenbud. It was presented by the Institute of the Environmental Medicine and the New York University Medical Center and was published by New York University Press. This publication not only clearly outlines what I am talking about here, but also explains the Russian weather control and negative energy transmission experiments that are currently going on, which will definitely damage the human race. I just can't emphasize enough what is necessary for people to know about all these negative effects of the ELF and all the other kinds of things that we're being affected by. And at the same time, I'm trying to emphasize how the body works so that you can further understand with greater clarity what we're talking about. Now what I'm going to do at this point in time is I'm going to go into a little bit of reading out of this Biological Effects of Electric and Magnetic Fields of Extremely Low Frequency by Shepherd and Eisenbud. And I want to give you a little bit of an idea where this book, this is one of the acknowledgments, first of all. The study should not have been possible without postdoctoral fellowship granted to Dr. Shepherd by the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences and the NIEHS Center Program Grant, which provided many forms of institutional support. We are also grateful for the assistance provided by the American Electric Power Service Corporation. In the introduction, starts out, until one century ago, human exposure to external electric and magnetic fields was limited to natural fields arising from atmospheric electricity and geomagnetism. However, within all organisms are endogenous electric fields and currents that play a role in complex mechanisms of psychological control, such as neural and neuromuscular activity, tissue growth and repair, glandular secretion, and cell membrane function. Because of the role of the electric fields and current flow is so, there are so many psychological processes, it is not surprisingly that questions have arisen concerning possible effects on biological systems exposed to artificially produced electric fields, such as those in the transmission and use of electrical energy. And we're talking about transmitters and power lines, too. Apart from the question of possible human effects is the question of behavioral and or influences of lower animals and plants.
That's where we're going to stop, because it gets good. It's going to be, this is a really good study, this book, I'm telling you, and you'll once again see how this plays into the drug companies who suppressed so much of this government research that was done from Merle Eisenblatt. He's world famous, Merle is. Now look him up on the internet. This guy started working for the Atomic Energy Commission, worked at the Bikini Atoll tests, and if it wasn't for him, the bomb probably would not have been documented into its effects of radiation on the body as the work that he has done. He is actually one heck of an environmentalist, and he happens to be one of my greatest mentors of all time, Merle Eisenblatt. So look up, you know, his work, and next week we'll be getting back into this some more and get over to www.raysoftruth.tv. And also, I was trying to say is I thank everybody at in Florida for making such a successful show down there. I also want to thank people in Finland and Sweden and Germany and all of the countries across Europe that are somewhat English-speaking, and I guess some of you probably wouldn't have an interpreter. I don't know. We're getting a tremendous thing. The other thing is, on the website, if I do a live show Saturday night, I'm not sure whether I'll do a live one yet or have a guest. Getting a lot of demand now for more live shows, more open mic shows. And if you keep active on the short quick chat on the index page of bbsradio.com, then I can actually communicate with a lot more of you simultaneously, and I might even go into some of these topics soon much deeper even than I'm doing here. So until then, we'll talk soon. And thank you for listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And by the way, on the Hot Rod to Health section that we do on a Saturday night, email me at fredbell@pyradyne.com. That's fredbell@pyradyne.com. Any situation you've had where you think the world should know about it, and we can send that situation on a Hot Rod to Hell. I'm not doing it in the seminar series because it's not appropriate, but it sure is. And sometimes I don't do it on Saturday night when certain guests are on because it's not appropriate. It has nothing to do with the guest. It's just that the frequency of the show isn't right for that. But most of the time, the frequency of the show is right for that, and I wish all the shows were right for that. And, of course, I need more Hot Rod to Hell topics. So until then, call 1-800-729-2603. And I don't know the other 800 number that we have right now, but that's primarily for specials, so stick with the, I know some of you are still calling on the other 800 number, which I've now switched over into a back office number. So go to the 1-800-729-2603, and if you're overseas in Europe, it's 1-949-499-2603 or 1-949-376-3904. That's 376-3904, another number for Paradigm. We've got a lot of them we haven't told you about. I bid you adieu and have a great afternoon on February 2nd, 2007. Talk to you tomorrow.